a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. We have a special week for us. This week we have the return of the Railroad Hour, plus Bing Crosby's 1946 episode has Bob Hope on it, which is always a joy to have Bob Hope and Bing Crosby together. And then in our 1950 episode of the Bing Crosby Show, we have Walter O'Keefe, who was an American songwriter, actor, syndicated columnist, Broadway composer, radio legend, screenwriter, musical arranger, and TV host. So, man, just a jack of all trades, did it all well, and hosted on television some of the game shows and so forth in the 1950s. Just was in a lot of things. His first movie was in 1929, and his last was in 1946, I think, or around 56. Anyway, and then along with him on that is Burt Wheeler, who was part of a comedy team, only his partner died in 1940-something, and so he struggled from there on out to find an audience and to be able to still perform, but he did perform on and off throughout the 1950s and 60s. Anyway, without further ado, here is a wonderful episode of the Bing Crosby Show from 1950, the Bing Crosby Show from 1946, and the Bing Crosby and the Railroad Hour from 1951. Enjoy.
Only one cigarette, Chesterfield, gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. What every smoker wants.
Buy Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfield's a milder, milder, plus no aftertaste.
So ho, open a pack and give them a sniff.
Then you'll smoke them.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter. Welcome you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield. Produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the mayors and Bing's guests, Burt Wheeler and Walter O'Keefe. And now, folks, we bring you a man who today is celebrating his birthday, Bing Crosby.
Yeah, you're right. Ken, no kidding. This is my birthday.
And a happy birthday. Well, thanks. Bing, what's new?
Well, not me, I can assure you.
Oh, now, Bing.
I have been around, shall we say.
Blue.
Well, I'm a bit...
We all feel a little older on our birthday.
Oh, I feel great. Feel fine. But this particular birthday presents something of a problem to me.
Huh?
In fact, almost an ordeal.
Ordeal? What
do
you mean?
Yeah, well, Dixie's over in Europe, you know, so the four kids, they baked me a cake this year.
Oh. How sweet.
Isn't that nice?
What kind of cake the boys bake?
Chocolate nut. Mm. And the way it hefts, I think there's a few bolts in it, too. A Stilson wrench may be concealed under the thing.
Well, after all, the kids meant well.
Of course they did. I appreciate it, but I do wish they'd have taken the trouble to learn how to make a frosting.
Why?
Well, my birthday cake's the only one ever made that has mayonnaise rosettes on it. It's a little rough.
Look, if you survive the cake, uh-huh, are you going to the Kentucky Derby in Louisville on Saturday?
Ken, I just can't make the Kentucky Derby. I sure regret that I can't be there with Colonel Bill Corum and all those nice people down at Churchill Downs.
Say, Bing, I wonder which horse will win the Derby this year.
What did you say?
You
wonder which horse can,
yes,
my dear.
I wonder which
it's
horse will
like
win.
Thinking like that that makes horse players into bridge jumpers. Wonder, wonder indeed. Be sure, be confident.
Oh, I suppose you're absolutely sure you have the winner of the Derby.
Certainly. I have a system.
Oh, you and your tea leaves.
Not using the tea leaf routine.
Changing. What system are you using?
Just hunches and bunches. Strictly on hunch. Hunch betting this year. I'll bet you anything I got the win of the Derby, too.
How do you figure?
Well, here's how I figure. Today's my birthday, right?
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely sure that next Saturday, Big Stretch will win the Kentucky Derby.
Well, why are you so sure of Big Stretch?
Because Bob Hope sent me a girdle for my birthday present. A gold gossard, I think. Yes. And that hunch is as good as gold, believe me.
Bing, you're being silly. Pull yourself together.
I'm pulled together. I'm wearing the girdle. Now, let's forget this happy horse talk. Can't get the singer. This thing can go on indefinitely. I've got to do an opening number here sometime. Like... And I've got a clever little number here called Sparrow in the Treetop.
Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, though he loves his mate. Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, scared of going home because it's too darn late. Don't look at me, sweetheart, with scorn in your eyes. I've been out all night, I'm gonna tell you no lies. Stopped in one place, I heard him singing a song. Like a lonely sparrow, I started singing along. Just a singing
sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop,
all night sitting in the tavern.
Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop, scared of going home because it's too darn late.
In walked a blonde and dear, she asked me to dance. I told that blonde,
now,
that there wasn't a chance.
That there wasn't a chance.
I love my kid,
wow,
and my beautiful wife.
Is that the honest truth, dear?
Well, I swear by my life. I kept a singing
sparrow in the
tavern, all night sitting in the tavern,
in the
tavern,
singing because it's too darn late.
There's things I am,
wow,
sweetheart, things that I ain't.
Because you're a man, and a man is no saint.
Won't you forgive, 'cause I'm telling you true. I was in that tavern, only thinking of you.
Only thinking of you.
Just a singing.
Sparrow in the treetop, sparrow in the treetop.
All night sitting in the tavern.
Sparrow in
the
tavern. Scared of going home because it's too darn late. Scared of going home because it's too darn late.
Bingham, boys and girls, mighty bouncy.
Isn't that a bubbly little rustic roundelay, Ken? Almost to the point of, I might say, effervescence. Yes.
Well, that being the case, Bing, I suggest we bounce right to the business at hand, selling milder Chesterfields.
Friends, there's nothing like them. Only Chesterfield gives you mildness plus no unpleasant aftertaste. What every smoker wants.
1,539 tobacco growers say Chesterfields are milder, and they show you how to prove it. They say Chesterfield's right combination of the world's best tobaccos smells milder and smokes milder.
And here's what modern science and research says, what the cigarette taste panel says. There's only one cigarette which leaves no unpleasant aftertaste. That cigarette is Chesterfield.
Now, every smoker wants a milder cigarette, and every smoker after smoking wants no unpleasant aftertaste. Only Chesterfield gives you both.
And that's more for your money than any other. That's more for your money than any other cigarette can give you.
Prove it yourself for the price of one pack. Yes, that's all it comes down to, just the price of a pack of Chesterfields to prove Chesterfield is the best cigarette for you. ¶¶
senorita says no, and I believe her, but oh, why do her eyes say quizás, quizás, quizás? That Spanish moon is brighter than I, it must know something all right. That's why her eyes say quizás, quizás, quizás. We should go back and dance with the rest of the dancers. And yet I have a feeling that her heart's not in her answer. The lovely señorita says no, but I'm not willing to go. Not while her eyes say quizás, quizás, quizás.
Siempre que te pregunto que cuando, come, donde, yo siempre me respondes quizás, quizás, quizás. The lovely señorita says no, says no, says no. But why do her eyes say maybe?
Go back and dance with the rest of the dancers. And yet I have the feeling that her heart's not in her answers. The lovely señorita says no, but I'm not willing to go. Not while her eyes say
quizás,
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 quizás.
Could be. Now, folks, by way of an introduction, I'd like to announce that Mr. Bert Wheeler, a very dear friend of mine, has dropped in to pay us a visit tonight. You know, I've long admired and followed Mr. Wheeler's career in every medium of the theatrical profession. In vaudeville, musical comedy, pictures, radio, and during the past year, he's been leading the television league in guest appearances. Through the years, Bert has won the affection of everyone in show business. And as for myself, I love the little man. I really do. Here he is now, Bert Wheeler.
Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And thank you, Bing, for that flattering introduction.
Oh, Bert, there's no flattery intended there at all. I just gave you the acknowledgement a man of your talent and your background deserves.
Look, Bing, you don't have to kid me with that big buildup. This program has important guest stars, and you're just trying to explain me to your sponsor.
Oh, no. Get out. My sponsor's a dignified and cultured gentleman. He wouldn't listen to this clam bake.
How do you know he doesn't listen?
Well, we're still working, ain't we?
Gee, I wish I could get a sucker. A sponsor like that.
You don't want radio, Bert. Look at all those TV shows you've been doing. Every time I turn my dial, you come on.
Then why do you keep turning your dial? Are you trying to lose me?
No, I enjoy watching you. May I tell you something, Bert? You never look better. You look great.
No kidding. Well, Bing, you're the guy who's really holding up.
Not too saggy?
No, not a bit. You know, when I first met you, you were just a kid out of college. You haven't changed a bit.
I haven't?
Nope, you've still got that same collegiate look about you. I notice you've even gone back to a crew haircut.
Well, thank you.
At least it looks like a crew cut. You know, from down here where I am.
Well, don't nobody come up here. You know, Bert, I can still remember the vaudeville act you used to do. Bert and Betty Wheeler.
Was that her name, Bing?
Yes, certainly, Bert and Betty. B&B, they used to call it. God, I'll never forget it. You used to lie across the footlights. You had a routine where you lie across the footlights and used to tell the audience how to make home brew.
Yeah, that's right, Bing.
Is that just your act, Bert? I often wondered, did you really know how to make home brew?
Why do you think I had to lie across the footlights?
Remember those jokes you used to tell, Bert?
Yeah, and Bing, since I've been listening to your program, I notice you remember them, too.
Me?
Yes, in fact, that's what I came here to see you about tonight.
What do you mean?
Well, I heard one of your programs some time ago, and you stole a whole routine of mine.
I did? But, Bert, what's the beef? What do you expect me to do?
Well, don't you think we ought to, you know, work out some kind of a settlement? A financial adjustment of, you know, a monetary consideration?
You mean give you money?
Please, Bing, let's keep this thing on a high level now.
Sounds like you want a lot of money. Yeah. Well, Bert, I'd be very happy to straighten this matter out. That is, if you're sure that that is your joke.
Of course it is. I've been telling that joke for over 20 years.
20 years? Well, Bert, then it's not your joke.
What do you mean?
It's public domain. Belongs to everybody.
How do you like this guy? For years, he's been doing, going around lifting people and pushing them around, and his brother Everett's been taking the rap for it.
You sure re-edited that line. Let me see that.
It's a good thing we're on tape, or I'd go back and burlesque after this one.
I'd like to join you.
Honest thing, I never thought you'd turn me down.
Well, it's a matter of principle, Bert. If the joke isn't yours legally, on what grounds would you expect me to give you money?
Well, I don't know much about law.
Well, I was counting on that.
But I did bring someone with me who does. What? This man is the quizmaster on the Campbell Soup Show, Double or Nothing. He's a graduate of Notre Dame Law School, and he's a comedian in his own right.
Man's name must be Walter O'Keefe.
Yep, and when he gets through with you, you'll think his name is Walter O'Keefeover. He'll straighten you up. I'm going outside and get him.
Who needs him? Oh, this is building, isn't it?
Oh, Waller.
Yes, Bird.
Waller. Look, I was just talking with his nibs, and I think he's going to be a pretty tough cookie.
Look, I won't have any trouble with him, Bert. Through the years, I've gotten to know the man and understand him. You see, Bing has one little idiosyncrasy that's characteristic of people who deal in high finance and astronomical figures.
What's that?
He's cheap.
He is?
But only when it comes to money.
Gee, he never used to be like that.
Well, he's got some now. But don't worry, Bert. I know how to get around him. I can handle Crosby. I know the law. I'll give him a fast nolle posse. I'll give him a hot little habeas corpus, and we'll get the dough. I'll go in there and give him the big hello, a little sweet talk, and from then on, Bert, really, he's putty in my hands.
Good luck, Walter.
Walter! Well, how are you?
Oh, Bing, a welcome like that, you make me as happy as a mosquito in a nudist camp.
What's on your mind, Walter?
Bing, I've never seen you looking better. How is the one and only Bing the greatest of them all?
What's on your mind, Walter?
Well, I wanted to talk to you about Bert Wheeler.
Now, if it's about that stale joke that he wants some dough for, aloha.
What's that?
You want it on the steel guitar or just made aloha?
Well, if that's the way you're going to act...
Now, Walter, don't... This cuts me deeply. Really, it does. I'm surprised and amazed that you taking sides with Wheeler against me.
Look, Bert Wheeler has been a friend of mine for many years.
Well, we've been pals too, Walter. And besides, when things were tough and breaks were against you, who did you always depend on to get you back on your feet? Me or Wheeler?
Me. And there were times when even I lost interest.
And we all had tough sledding in those days. You remember when we first came to California, Walter?
Yeah.
Did you go back that far? You remember? Two of us living together in a little hall bedroom.
Bing, do you remember the cute little brunette, the petite bonbon?
Little bonbon.
Who lived across the hall from us.
Mm-hmm. Remember the way she used to write notes to you, Walter? She used to leave them in her milk bottle.
Yeah.
Walter, what did she say in those notes?
Stop stealing my milk. Oh.
Memories, memories.
Now, Bing, about this money for Wheeler.
Walter, this baffles me, honestly. It does. Why are you so anxious about Wheeler? What's in it for you? What's your cut?
The usual legal fee, 33 1/3%.
Walter, I could make a deal with you, but I realize you're a man of high integrity.
Naturally.
Look, I'm willing to settle this thing for $500 right now if you can convince Wheeler that he's not entitled to anything.
Oh, Bing, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Do you realize you're suggesting that I double-cross a friend, resort to filthy hugger-mugger? connive and cheat a pal of many years standing who's placed his trust in me.
Hello, fellas.
Oh, hello, Bert. I'm glad you're here.
How's it going, pal?
Look, Bert, I talked your case over with Bing from the legal angle. From the personal angle. From the moral angle. The gentleman's angle. The code of honor. I've gone into the whole thing thoroughly, and as your lawyer, I have this to say.
What is it, Walter?
Kid, you haven't got a leg to stand on.
I haven't?
Nope.
That doesn't sound right to me. Mr. O'Keefe, are you sure you two college boys didn't cook up something between you?
Why, Bert, do you think I'd double-cross you? Stoop to chicanery?
You're darn right you would. You know, you're an awful sneak, O'Keefe. He really is.
Wait, fellas, this is silly. Three buddies like us, pals for years, and a little beef over just a little money. After all, money isn't everything.
Nowadays, it isn't anything.
You could be right.
Right as rain, amigo. You know, I know a counterfeiter, and this poor guy is losing 50 cents on every dollar he puts out.
But Walter.
One time, let him mull it over.
Sure. Why doesn't he quit?
He's just operating now for goodwill. He wants to keep his customers in case money ever comes back.
You know, while we're on the subject of currency, lads, there's a nice song on it. I don't know if you fellas have heard it or not, but Merman's got a record on it with Ray Bolger. Harks right back to the halcyon days when a nickel was quite a hunk of dough.
Oh, bang, you mean Once Upon a Nickel? Mm-hmm. That's a good tune.
Maybe we could get off with that.
All right. I'd like to get off with something.
Bert, I promise you we'll get everything straightened out here. In the meanwhile, why don't the three of us, lads, just kind of raise our voices? You get that happy tenor of yours, Walter,
right,
the lead.
Right.
I'll take the baritone, and we'll sing a little pean here, a little praise of the nickel. Good old days, the nickel it used to be. Are you eager?
I'm
willing?
For it.
Yeah? Ho, once upon a nickel,
yeah,
you could really buy a cake of soap, a good cigar, a piece of apple pie, a Subway ride, an ice cream cone. For a nickel, you could phone. Well, those were the good old days, our Mr. Wheeler.
And once upon a nickel, you could buy a lot. A loaf of bread, a bowl of soup, a hot dog really hot. A glass of beer, a can of beans, a nickel bought most magazine. Those were the good old days.
Well,
get him. What happened to that nickel cup of coffee?
A number of cars.
The 5 cent bag of peanuts at the game.
Give them a nickel now, they'll spit in your eye.
Because I have no doubt that the nickel is dying out. I'm gonna put one in a special frame.
Oh, yes, like Gainsborough's Blue Boy.
Mr. Crosby.
Once upon a nickel, we could have us a time.
Oh.
But now to buy a nickel's worth, you need more than a dime. The day may come, but who knows when, they'll sensibly revive again the nickel and those good old days.
I'm for it, baby.
Go ahead, ACO.
Once upon a nickel, you were in the chips. You'd do the town and throw around those great big nickel tips.
Diamond Jim Wheeler.
The silver coins, when they were tossed, could get a gal's kid brother lost.
Blow, bub.
Those were the good old days.
Oh. Once upon a nickel,
yeah,
life was very nice.
Oh.
A nickel brought the Iceman up with quite a chunk of ice.
And those suppers at the automat.
Weren't they gay?
Oh, I laughed when they stole my hat.
The good old days. Now the mighty buffalo upon the nickel. I get the pretty part. He's so ashamed that he has to hide his face.
Cause the nickel shrunk so small, there's no room for him there at all.
You know they're putting Mickey Mouse on in his place.
Have a banana.
Once when you earned nickel, you could just relax.
Loaded.
But out of every nickel now, 4 pennies go for tax.
Ho! If you've got 50 cents to spend, a nickel beer, a toast, my friend, a nickel and the good old days.
Bring back the buffalo,
the nickel and the good old days.
Say, Bing, yeah. Did you hear Bob Hope's show last night?
Hung on every word of it. Wouldn't miss a syllable.
Right.
Yes, sir. Old Nozzle Nostrils did his broadcast from our Chesterfield factory down in Durham, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Isn't he brave to go down there again? Especially at tobacco planting time after what happened last spring.
Last spring? What happened?
Didn't you hear?
No.
Sound like Frank Gallup, don't I? Haven't you heard?
Yes.
Well, last year, Ken,
yes.
A tobacco grower took one look at Hope's nose, and before he could say anything, he was hitched to a mule, and he plowed up 8.5 acres of the South Quarter.
Well, one thing, you don't need a nose like Bob Hope's to make the Chesterfield mildness test.
No, indeed. All you have to do is open a package of Chesterfields, take a whiff of that famous milder aroma, and because tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder, that aroma is your guarantee that Chesterfield's smoke milder.
Or, to put it musically...
By Chesterfield, Chesterfield, the one that proves its case. Yes, Chesterfield's a milder, milder, plus no aftertaste.
So ho, open a pack and give them a sniff.
Then you'll smoke them.
Isn't that a catchy little jingle?
Oh, yes. And talking about catchy things, Bing, our offer of the 14th edition of Tobaccoland USA is being snapped up by smokers everywhere.
Why not? It's full of important info, so important that every smoker really ought to read it.
Folks, to get your copy, put your name and address on a penny postcard and send it to Chesterfield, Box 21, New York City. That's Chesterfield, Box 21, New York City.
When the sun in the morning peeped over the hill and kisses the roses round my windowsill, then my heart fills with gladness when I hear the trill of the birds in the treetops on Mockingbird Hill. Tra-la-la, twiddly-dee-dee, it gives me a thrill to wake up in the morning to the mockingbird's trill. Tra-la-la, twiddly-dee-dee, there's peace and goodwill. You're welcome as the flowers on Mockingbird Hill. Got a three-cornered plow and an acre to till and a mule that I bought for a $10 bill. There's a tumble-down shack and a rusty old mill, but it's my home, sweet home, up on Mockingbird Hill.
Tra-la-la, tweedy-dee-dee, it gives me a thrill to wake up in the morning to the mockingbird trill. Tra-la-la, tweedy-dee-dee, there's peace and goodwill. You're welcome in the flowers on Mockingbird Hill.
When it's late in the evening, I climb up the hill and survey all my kingdom while everything's still. Only me and the sky and an old whippoorwill singing songs in the twilight on Mockingbird Hill. La la la, twiddly-dee-dee, it gives me a thrill to wake up in the morning to the mockingbird's trill. Tra-la-la, twiddly-dee-dee, there's peace and goodwill. You're welcome as the flowers on Mockingbird Hill. You're welcome as the flowers on Mockingbird Hill. On Mockingbird Hill.
Thank you, folks. Thank you very much. And that just about wraps up this little tortilla for tonight. Guess that'll get us off, all right.
I'd like to get off with something.
Oh, Bertie, don't be so bitter.
Of course not, Bert. Be a philosopher. Let a smile be your umbrella.
Certainly. Let it rain, let it pour, but look up, smile. Let that be your umbrella.
Sure.
Now these guys want to drown me.
No, seriously, Bert, you didn't think for 1 minute, did you? Honestly, that I would jip you out of that material, out of that...
Oh, stuff. Of course I didn't think about it for a minute.
Kid, your worries are over. First thing tomorrow morning, I'm sending you a check for the full amount of that material.
Well, why don't you pay me right now?
Oh, I got to reach in my pocket and everything. It's very big, enervating. I'll send the check to you.
Say, just a minute. What happened to the mouthpiece? What about me?
What about you?
Yeah, what about my end?
Well, I'll tell you. Say that line once more, because I don't want to lose it.
What about me? What about my end?
I'm going to kick it for you.
Before the little man assaults me, Bing...
Yes, this is getting too physical.
I think I better ask you, who's going to be with you next week?
Next week, Walter, our guest will be Mr. Fred Astaire.
Oh, very stylish, fancy. Mm-hmm.
Also, Miss Teresa Brewer will be with us, the recording lassie. Laddies, let's amble across the street, shall we, to the Brown Derby?
Just before you amble, Bing, I think we should remind the folks that Mother's Day is coming up soon. Mother's everybody's best girl, so she naturally deserves the best. That's Chesterfield and the wonderful new gift carton.
Yes, it's all prettied up for Mom and ready for you to write your own greeting. You'll find it at your favorite Chesterfield dealer. Remember, for Mother's Day and any day, it's Chesterfield. See you next week for Chesterfield, folks. The best cigarette for you to smoke.
Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Mr. Fred Astaire and Miss Teresa Brewer. Ladies and gentlemen, support United Cerebral Palsy. Give them the treatment centers, the rehabilitation schools, the doctors, nurses, physical therapists they need. Dig way down deep and send a generous contribution to United Cerebral Palsy Association, 50 West 57th Street, New York.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day.
Get that guitar right in there, Perry. Let's hear it. Now take off the boxing gloves and let's hear it.
Better.
Music Hall with John Scott Trotter, his orchestra and chorus, Eddie Duchin, the Charioteers, and Bing's special guests, the lovely songstress Peggy Lee, and that racetrack man, the bookmaker's pinup boy, Joe Frisco.
Yes, yes.
And here's Bing with a slice of shoe fly pie.
Shoe fly pie and apple pan doubt, it makes your eyes bug out, your tummy say howdy. Shoe fly pie and apple pan doubt, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Shoe fly pie and apple pan doubt, it makes the sun come out when the heavens are cloudy. Shoe fly pie and apple pan doubt, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama, when you bake, Mama, cancel my cake, Mama. For heaven's sake, go to the oven and make some ever-loving shoe fly pie. An apple pan dowdy makes your eyes bug out, your tummy say howdy. Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff.
Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy makes your eyes bug out, your tummy say howdy. Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy makes the sun come out
when the heavens are cloudy.
Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff. Mama.
When you beg,
Mama.
I do not want cake,
Mama.
For my sake,
go to the oven,
light up some ever-loving shoe fly pie. An apple pan dowdy makes your eyes bug out, your tummy say howdy. Shoe fly pie, an apple pan dowdy, I never get enough of that wonderful stuff.
Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy. Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy. Shoe fly pie and apple pan dowdy.
I never get enough of that wonderful stuff.
Wonderful stuff on the cuff.
Excellent, Bing, excellent. And by the way, congratulations on your birthday.
Oh, that's right. This is my birthday, isn't it?
Yeah, just what is your age, old-timer? Telling me?
Well, you'll have to check with Brother Everett on that. He takes care of that type of thing for me. And you, Eddie Duchin, no cracks, please.
Okay, next crack. You know, Bing, right after the program, we're going to have a big birthday cake.
Chocolate, huh?
No.
Angel food?
No.
What kind of cake is it?
Cheesecake.
Oh, my. Yes, I should have known. I'm not going to knock it either.
Yes, Bing, it's a beautiful cheesecake with just oodles of candles on it.
Lots of candles, huh?
Sure.
But ce soir, je suis un petit fatigué.
Eh?
That's tired for you squares, you know. Could you order up a hurricane to help me blow the candles out?
I'll borrow the wind machine from the sound
You'll
man.
Need them. They're all them candles. Good. And now, Eddie Duchin, do you have a piano tune to blow our listeners away?
Yes, I'd like to do a George Gershwin medley of The Man I Love and Someone to Watch Over Me.
Well, I'd certainly like to hear same, Eddie. Just fan your fanny to the piano and waft that melody over this way. Great, Eddie.
My sprouts are listening. Why don't you practice? Our friends, the charioteers, appear now with one of their finest spirituals, Home in That Rock, which they'll sing right after this attenuated oration.
Mm-hmm. We're all asked by our government not to waste a single slice of bread, so hang on to those last few slices from the loaf, even if they do get a little bit dry. Spread them generously with a creamy Kraft cheese spread, and they'll taste swell. Or toast them for grand sandwiches with thick fillings of delicious Kraft spreads. For instance, take Kraft pimento cheese spread, so creamy, rich tasting with the bits of scarlet pimento all through it. That's all the spread your sandwiches need, and that, Mother, is a help you'll certainly recognize these days. Remember, Kraft pimento is just one of seven delicious cheese spreads that Kraft gives you. Get acquainted with the whole wonderful assortment so you can pick out your family's special favorites. Look for them tomorrow at your food store, the handy, delicious Kraft cheese spreads.
I got a home in that rock. Don't you see?
Don't you see?
I got a home.
Nicely done, man. Nicely done. That song from Road to Utopia still haunts me, Little John. Shall we haunt the folks with it? You think that money is everything, and yet it's anybody's spring. Go make a fortune, become a king, and still it's anybody's spring. And if you flash a bankroll, do you suppose the brook would care, or that a rose would say, there goes a millionaire? It's more than diamonds around a ring, because it's anybody's spring. You may be born with a silver spoon, and yet it's anybody's moon. You couldn't buy a ticket to hear the first robin sing. It's free because it's anybody's spring.
A very handy little lady with any kind of a tune is our guest this evening. A highly personable, attractive young lady who's been hitting the jackpot with her recordings in just about every jukebox in the land. And here she is, Miss Peggy Lee.
Good evening, Bing.
How are you, Peg?
Well, I didn't know it was your birthday, Bing. I would have brought you a bag of gumdrops or something.
Well, I'll take a rain check on the gumdrops, Peggy, but if you've got a song on you, I'll settle for that.
All right, Bing. How about I don't know enough about you.
Sounds clever. You wrote this song, didn't you, Peggy?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of others. Well, lay it right in there.
I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't know enough about you. Just when I think you're mine, you try a different line. And baby, what can I do? I read the latest news, no buttons on my shoes. But baby, I'm confused about you. You get me in a spin, oh what a stew I'm in. 'Cause I don't know enough about you. Jack of all trades, master of none. And isn't it a shame? I'm so sure that you'd be good for me if you'd only play my game. You know I went to school, and I'm nobody's fool. That is to say, until I met you. I know a little bit about a lot of things, but I don't know enough about you. I know a little bit about biology and a little more about psychology. I'm a little gem in geology, but I don't know enough about you. I guess I better get out the encyclopedia and brush up on from schmur to schmoo. 'Cause I don't know enough about you.
That is worth the money, This being Derby Week, it seemed incumbent upon us, Kentucky Derby being held next Saturday, we ought to produce an eminent authority on the turf, on horse racing. A fellow that uses a racing form for a pup tent, Mr. Joe Frisco. Welcome to the Old Craft Music Hall, Joe Frisco. Tell me, are you here through the courtesy of the racetrack?
No, Bing, I'm here through the courtesy of my creditors.
Ah, they tell me you're a good horse player.
I was a good horse player until I started to play your horses.
What happened?
Lost my wife, home, and family, and everything.
Well, your troubles are over now, Joe. I got good news for you. Move in. I sold my horses.
Your trouble is all over. Well, my trouble has just started. I've got the habit now.
Yeah?
But I'm going to the doctor that cures you from the races.
You taking a cure?
Yeah.
Well, I ought to go to him, too. Where's this doctor's office?
Doctor's office is about a mile and an eighth from here.
You couldn't make that a mile and 3/16, could you?
The doctor's a pretty old man. I don't think he can go that far.
What does the doctor do for you? What's his routine?
Well, he asks your earning capacity, how many in your family, who you support.
Use medicine?
Don't use no medicine, no. He only works on the mind. He's what they call a...
Psychiatrist?
No, this guy's a Swede, a tall Swede.
What does he do for you? Does he take you off of him right away? Or does he make you stop betting the horses right away? Or does he sort of taper you off?
He puts you on a diet, like.
Oh, a diet, huh?
That's for 3 weeks.
Did you have any trouble getting him to take you as a patient?
Well, he didn't want to take me as a client at all.
He didn't? Why not?
No, he asked me how long I played him. I lied to him. I played him 30 years. I told him 20.
Oh, Joe.
I heard him say to the girl in the side room, he said, I got a mental case out here.
Mental case? How did you know he meant you?
I was the only one in the room. It wasn't an entry.
What else does doctor do for you? What does he do?
He gave me a bottle of penicillin.
What's this?
Penicillin.
No, penicillin. That's right. Well, what did he give you that for?
They use it in the army. Yeah. It's for the nerves.
Yeah?
It's for the nerves, yeah.
What do they do? How do they make it?
Made out of mold. Moldy bread and moldy meat. Not molehill. No. Mountains made out of
mold. Anything that's moldy, huh?
Quite the nerves.
Well, they could make it out of one of Hope's old pictures, then, I guess.
Easy. Yeah. He can make it out of one of his new ones.
No, I'm in... I don't want that. I'm in one of his new ones. Next cracker. Well, what else does doctor do for you, Joe?
A double dose, huh?
Yeah, what else does doctor do for you?
Well, he gives you a wooden box, the little blocks.
Little wooden blocks, huh?
Like the school kids.
Is that so?
There's no numbers on the
block. No numbers on the block?
It's a 12-story building.
You got to build a building. Oh, man.
And then he gives you his photograph.
Photograph of the doctor?
That's to keep your mind on him. You lay the photograph home on your bird's eye furniture. I don't know what you
bird's eye. No, I've got a bird's eye furniture. I got early California.
Well, I've got late Wisconsin.
Well, what does he do? Does he get you, how far do you go with this building?
Well, if he can get you up to the third or fourth story inside of 3 months, he'll get you off the horses.
Get you to lay off betting on horses,
He'll get you off.
How long have you been going to him?
5 months now.
How high are you up on the building?
I'm in the basement. You know,
you can't get out of the basement, huh?
No.
You been out the track at all?
I went out the track one day.
What day was that?
Well, I snuck away one day. That's the day of the big race.
Seabiscuit? Well, you had to see the mighty Seabiscuit.
60,000 people there.
Big crowd, huh?
Everybody was yelling and hollering. I couldn't see nothing. The guy in front of me with a Panama hat was yelling. I turned him around and who do you think it was? The doctor with my money.
You ever have any dreams about the horses, Joe?
Yeah, I dream all the time.
I dream about the horses. I dreamt the other night there were 6 horses jumped right over my bed.
Oh, those are hurdle races. I don't play them.
Well, I'm sure glad to have you on the program tonight, Joe.
Yeah, you needed me.
Listen, let's break this off so quick. Someday I'll pick you up with my car. We'll have a little lunch, huh?
Tomorrow?
No, I can't go tomorrow. I'm at the Elks Club. I can't pick you up tomorrow.
I ain't doing nothing Tuesday.
Well, I can't pick you up Tuesday. I have to go to the studio.
How about Thursday?
No, I'm playing golf. Can't pick you up.
Well, you figure it out yourself. I'm around.
Well, look out for that first step when you go out now, will you? Are you all right, Frisco?
You can pick me up now, Bing.
Thank you, Joe Frisco. You know, I'll get that doctor's address. I want to. Victor Young, Paramount's musical director and a conductor of renown for 20 years, wrote a song some time ago which Eddie Duchin and I would like to transcribe for you tonight, begging your indulgence. You ready, Edward?
Beautiful love, you're all a mystery. Beautiful love, what have you done to me? I was contented till you came along, thrilling my soul with your song. Beautiful love, I've roamed your paradise, searching for love, my dream to realize, reaching for heaven, depending on you. Beautiful love, will my dreams come true?
Hmm.
paradise. Searching for love, my dream to realize. Reaching for heaven, depending on you. Beautiful love, well, my dreams come true.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you very much for the assist. From Beautiful Love, we turn to one of the late Jerome Kern's last and most beautiful ballads all through the day. But first, here is a man with something very important.
Right now, we here in America are the best-fed people in the world, while millions of men and women and little children in Europe and Asia are hungry, facing actual starvation. It's up to us, who have so much, to help in this crisis. We can share a meal and save a life. But how, you may ask? Well, here's how you can help every day. Buy only as much bread and other wheat products as you really need. Use rice, fats, and oils sparingly. Eliminate all food waste. Turn in your used fats at the food store. Plant a garden. Raise as much of your family's food as you can.
And above all, remember that you're saving food for folks who desperately need it when you buy less. When you use up those leftovers, none of us would turn a hungry child away from our door. So let's not waste a bit of food that keep that child alive.
From now until July 1st, a great battle with hunger is raging around the world. Do your part to help win it. Let's all share our abundance with the hungry.
Wait a minute. 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 This, happy birthday, big boy.
Thank you, Bob.
This is Bob. I had to go to the wax museum to find enough candles for this cake. Hope. There you are, old boy.
Oh,
there you are.
A brilliant thing.
Wait a minute. I have a poem.
I'll never get you out of the pool hall.
I have to get this hat back to Max Sennett in 20 minutes. Look. And I have one little poem I just want to throw in here with that cake. Isn't that a beautiful thing?
Oh, my heavens.
This is the hottest audience you've had this week. Look, here's my poem. I just want to say happy birthday to you, Flab.
Yeah.
I know the age, but I won't blab. I just want to say happy birthday, Pop.
Thank
here's
you.
Your cake with the cheese in the middle and the Pepsodent on top. Thank you. Happy birthday. Give me a key. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you.
79. Happy birthday to you.
How's the schedule?
Happy birthday, dear baby. Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday, boy.
Oh, how about that?
That'll cost us plenty later.
All through the day, I dream about the night.
Get that cake out of here. It'll knock start all the fire extinguishers. John, my cake.
All through the day, I dream about my cake. Until the time when I'm here with you. Down falls the sun.
The song of this cake. Where am I? Just a minute.
The evening mist melts away. Down smiles the moon, and soon your lips recall the kiss I dreamed of all through the day.
Well, that secures all the hatches for tonight. We'll be back next Thursday to help celebrate with all the Derby winners. Good night, everybody, and thank you, Rob, for bringing that happy piece of two-fly pie.
Same guest next week. Dorothy Clare and Spike Jones and his City Slickers. Good night, everybody. And now here's another Kraft quality food product that's sure to add zest to your meals and lunches. It's Kraft Salad Mustard, tempting golden salad mustard prepared to Kraft's own special recipe. You can use creamy Kraft Salad Mustard in all sorts of appetizing ways, blended zestfully into cooked dishes, fondues, and Welsh rabbits, or as a tasty spread for sandwich meats. And, of course, there's another variety for sharper tastes, the popular Kraft Mustard with snappy horseradish added. Look for and buy both of these delicious Kraft Mustards in your food store tomorrow.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads presents the great Broadway musical hit, Music in the Air, starring Gordon McRae and his charming guest, Miss Jo Stafford. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. Yes, tonight another great musical success is brought to you transcribed by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'll be Carl, and Joe Stafford is Siglinda. And here's Music in the Air. The picturesque mountain village of Edendorf nestles deep in the Bavarian Alps. And in our story, I'm sort of a bashful schoolmaster, so I can't really say the things I feel. Like right now, I'm coming to Siglinda's house to bring something to her father, Dr. Lessing.
Hello, Carl.
Oh, hello, Siglinda.
Well, you should have told me you were coming to see me. I'd have been home sooner.
Well, I didn't exactly come to see you.
Oh?
I came to see your father.
Well, if you'd rather see my father.
Oh, no, Siglinda, you don't understand. I mean, I always say the wrong thing when I'm close to you.
Carl, don't be bashful. Tell me what you're trying to say.
I hear music when I look at you. A beautiful theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I feel it start and melt away.
I hear music when I touch your hand. A beautiful melody from some enchanted land. Down deep in my heart,
Is that you?
Yes, Father.
I finished the words, Dr. Lessing.
So soon? Oh, that's wonderful.
Carl, did you write words for one of Father's songs?
Well, let me hear your lyric, Carl.
I'll be out in the kitchen.
No, Sieglinde. Stay. I want you to hear this, too, because even though you don't know it, you helped me write the words.
I've told every little star just how sweet I think you are. Made my heart an open book. Oh, why haven't I told you? Friends ask me, I love. I always answer yes. Might as well confess. If I don't, I guess maybe you may know it too. Oh, my darling, if you do, why haven't you told me?
Sieglinde, you and Carl, sing it together.
Please do, Sieglinde.
I make up things to say on my way to you.
On my way to you, I find things to say.
I can write poems too when you're far away.
When you're far away, I write poems. Made my heart an open book. Why haven't I told you? Friends ask me, am I in love? I always answer yes. Might as well confess if I don't think yes.
Right to keep it to ourselves in our little valley.
You should have it published.
How? I'm no businessman.
I'm going to Munich next week with the walking club. And Dr. Lessing, if you could come with us, why,
I should walk to Munich? 60 miles? You think I'm a schoolboy?
We'll take our time. A week or more.
Well, I've not been there for 20 years. And my old school friend, Ernest Mahler, is a music publisher in Munich.
Well, then you must come and give him the song. And Sieglinde must come to sing it for him.
Oh, may I, Father, please?
Well, somehow I feel this is a wrong thing to do. It'll bring sadness to us.
But how, Dr. Lessing? It can only make you famous.
Oh, and it'll be a wonderful holiday for all of us.
There's a hill beyond the hill, beyond the hill, beyond the hill. There's still in the youngest song. Follow along, follow along. There's a dream beyond the dream, beyond the dream, beyond the dream. If your heart is young and gay. Follow along, follow along, follow along, follow along, follow along, follow along.
my goodness. What have they done to the city in the 20 years I've been away?
Everyone is in such a hurry. And everybody looks mad.
That's the way it is with city life.
Ah, look, look. There's the sign. Marla and Company. Music publishers.
Well, shall we go in?
I wonder if my old friend Ernst will recognize me. It's been so long.
May I help you?
We'd like to see Mr. Mahler, please.
Well, he's very busy. You'll have to wait.
And you can take your play and your music.
No, Frieda, let's not have another scene.
Who's making a scene?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm leaving you, Mr. Mahler. I'm leaving your wretched little opera company.
May I introduce
myself?
You won't
want to leave, Frieda Hatzfeld, and you'll never work in the theater again.
Ha! I have a dozen offers.
Are you really Frieda Hatzfeld, the great star?
You see, Mr. Mahler, here is a young man who appreciates my talent.
Oh, I saw you once in The Chocolate Soldier. You were wonderful.
Oh, how sweet of you to say so.
You look like Ernst Mahler, but you should be older.
You're thinking of my father. He's been dead 10 years.
Ernst? It's dead? Oh, my old friend.
Don't be sad, Father. And I'm sure young Mr. Mahler will listen to your composition.
You see, I've written a song, and my daughter has come along to sing it for you.
Everyone in the world has written a song and expects me to publish it. I can't be bothered.
You can't treat my father like this. He's a great composer.
Well, you're a fiery one, aren't you, my dear?
Bruno Mahler.
Run along. I'm going to listen to this little angel sing.
That finishes it. I'm through.
That's right. You're through.
Oh! Young man.
Yes?
How would you like to take me to dinner?
Have dinner? With the immortal Frieda Hatzfeld?
What a nice way of putting it. Young man, you should write.
Well, I have done a few lyrics.
Oh? Perhaps you will write something for me. Come, we shall discuss it at dinner. Carl?
Ah, the fickleness of women.
Women? Men are the fickle ones.
Are you having a good time, Carl?
Oh, yes. I can hardly believe that this is really me having dinner with a famous star.
You are refreshing, Carl. And I'm very fond of you.
Are you? Really? Do you know what's been happening to me, Frieda, while we walked in the park?
No. Tell me, Carl.
I hear music when I look at you. Theme of every dream I ever knew. Down deep in my heart, I hear it play. I feel it start, then melt away.
Good time, my sweet.
Oh, it's been a glorious evening, Mr. Mahler. And I'm so proud that you're going to publish my father's song.
How could I help it after the way you sang it? Sieglinde, can I persuade you to take Frieda Hatzfeld's place in my opera company? I'll make the theatergoers love you as much as I do. Do you think you could be happy working with me?
Oh, yes, Mr. Mahler. When we're together, I almost seem to hear music in the air.
I alone have heard this lovely strain. I alone have heard this lovely strain.
This is working out all wrong. I always thought that Carl and my Sieglinde, oh, they should sing their songs to each other, not to strangers. Oh, we should never have come here. We should have stayed in Edendorf.
Why can't I let you know the song my heart would sing?
That beautiful rhapsody of love and youth and spring.
Oh, and I've heard
We'll return for the second act of Music in the Air in just a moment. What is the most powerful weapon in the world today? You see it in action every time you glimpse the lights of a factory burning far into the night. Every time you watch workers streaming into sprawling defense plants. Every time you pass the endlessly rich rolling acres of our fertile farms. For that weapon is our overwhelming productive might, busy at the job of rearming America and our allies. Now, to make that all-powerful weapon work takes money, lots of it, to pay for the tanks, planes, guns, and arms needed by our fighting forces. That's why Uncle Sam calls on us all to buy United States savings bonds. And that's why in this coming month of May, America's railroads and railroad men are joining together in a special campaign to step up their purchase of defense bonds through the payroll deduction savings plan. Under that plan, already widely used in the railroad industry, railroad men ask their companies to set aside regularly a certain amount of their wages to be used for the purchase of the bonds they want. The men who buy these bonds become partners of Uncle Sam, helping to build America's security and to back up our military and defense production efforts. In addition, when you buy United States savings bonds, you add to your own financial security by saving for long-range personal goals, like a home of your own, college for your children, a fund for retirement. And remember, in only 10 years' time, the bonds you buy today pay off at a 33 1/3% profit to you. Yes, United States savings bonds are now defense bonds. You help your country and yourself when you buy them regularly. Now here is Act Two of Music in the Air, starring Gordon McRae as Carl Rader and Joe Stafford as Sieglinde.
It's strange how people who love each other, or think they do, can suddenly drift apart. Back home in Edendorf, I had dreamed that someday Sieglinde would be mine. But in Munich, with the glamorous Frieda Hatzfeld on my arm, Sieglinde didn't seem nearly so important. And she was having the time of her life with that pompous impresario, Bruno Mahler, who had actually given her a starring part in his newest operetta.
Quiet now. Quiet in the theater.
Oh, do I look all right, Mr. Mahler?
Yes, Sieglinde, you look enchanting.
Oh, I'm so frightened with all the lights and the people.
Do not be frightened. This is merely a dress rehearsal.
Sing it sweetly, my dear. I'll be listening.
Thank you, Father.
All right, music.
Stirred by a breeze and love was born. A moon in flight was caught in the trees and love was born. A lark sang out and through the mist there came a sigh upon a sigh, and two young lips were gently kissed.
Bravo, bravo.
Bravo, Sieglinde. Didn't she sing that beautifully, Mr. Marler?
Yes, she sings magnificently, but I'm afraid she won't do.
Oh, what do you mean, sir?
It is not enough to be able to sing. A star in a musical comedy must know how to move, how to act, how to walk upon the stage as if she owned it.
But Sieglinde has had no experience. She will learn.
There isn't time enough. Oh, if I could only get Frieda Hatzfeld.
I thought you hated her.
I would give my arm not to be dependent upon her. But do you realize what makes her great? She's played in every little town in Europe. She's been hissed and booed off stages. She's starred between jobs. But finally, after years of work, she's become Frieda Hatzfeld, the famous prima donna. I was wrong of me to expect you to take her place. A girl who never saw a stage until a few weeks ago.
But I'm so ashamed.
Sieglinde?
Sieglinde, what's wrong?
Carl... Oh, you tell him, Father.
A schoolmaster, have you seen Frieda Hatzfeld? Do you know where she is?
Oh, yes, at her hotel. She's packing her bag to go to Vienna.
I only hope I'm in time to stop her.
I don't understand. What's going on around here?
They don't want me to play the part.
There, Sieglinde.
They say I'm not good enough.
Oh, Sieglinde, don't you understand? We don't belong here. We belong in our own little village, in Edendorf.
Well, now that you're tired of your Frieda Hatzfeld, I suppose you want to go home.
Yes, Sieglinde.
I don't know what to do. Father, please, I want to get away from here.
But, Sieglinde, don't run away.
We belong together. We're happy together. Life is a song. When we are together, we know we are where we belong. We belong together. Like birds of a feather, together we fly. Little caring whether the rest of the world is alive. All alone, I'm only a hand. Like a when we are together, we're happy together, and life is a song. When we are together, we know we are where we belong.
On the long, lonesome road back to my little village, I thought how much I hated all great cities and all prima donnas of musical comedy because they had separated me from my Sieglinde. Back in Edendorf, we were farther apart than ever. Until the day Sieglinde came running to her father with a big package wrapped in brown paper.
Father, look what came in the post.
From Munich.
What can it be? Your song.
All printed and published. And a letter from Mr. Mahler. We are sending this all over the world. We expect to sell thousands of copies.
Oh, Father, congratulations.
You must not only congratulate me, my dear. What about the man who wrote the words to the song?
I don't want to talk to Carl. He doesn't care anything about me.
Oh, nonsense. The whole village is talking about how sad our schoolmaster is because you won't talk to him. Oh, he's so gloomy with his lessons, a whole generation is being depressed.
Well, we can't let that happen.
Of course not. Now, dear, take this music and show it to your car.
Sieglinde.
Look, I have a present for you. I told every little star just how grand I think you are.
Why haven't I told you?
Look, it says music by Dr. Walter Lessing, words by Carl Rader. It's your song, Carl.
Oh, no, my darling. It's your song. You were the inspiration, both for your father and for me.
Mr. Glinda, the song is you.
I alone have heard this lovely strain. I alone have heard this glad refrain. Must it be forever inside of me? Why can't I let it go? And I let you know.
Ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Joe Stafford, for putting some wonderful music in the air. Thanks, too, to our cast, Janet Waldo, Bruce Payne, Carlton Young, Marion Simpson, and our entire company. Music in the Air, composed by Jerome Kern, with book and lyrics by Oscar Hammerstein II, was dramatized for the Railroad Hour by Lawrence and Lee. The Railroad Hour is brought to you each week at this time by the American Railroad. Say, friends, have you written for your free copy of our Railroad Hour souvenir booklet? If you haven't, send us your name and address tonight. The address is the Railroad Hour, Transportation Building, Washington 6, D.C. And shortly, you'll receive the attractive 32-page booklet about the Railroad Hour, with fascinating pictures and stories of the stars you hear on our programs. The address again is the Railroad Hour, Transportation Building, Washington 6, D.C. So write tonight for your free copy.
All aboard!
Well, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. And folks, next week we're going to bring you one of the bright hits of recent Broadway history, High Button Shoes. Our guest star will be that wonderful little songstress, Margaret Whiting. And so until next Monday, this is Gordon McRae saying goodbye.
Music in the Air was transcribed in Hollywood and presented by special arrangement with Tam's Whitmark Music Library. Gordon McRae can currently be seen starring in Warner Brothers' West Point story. Joe Stafford can be heard on Carnation Contented Hour and Club 15 for Campbell's Soup. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroad. And now stay tuned for your Monday night of music on NBC.
The preceding program was transcribed. The Telephone Hour provides fine musical listening next on NBC.